So just one more question about this case. If a case like this, or in this situation, a woman presented to you like this had not had a genomic assay, would you order one, and which one?
So I order Oncotype in all N1 disease, unless I know that I'm not going to give chemotherapy multiple comorbidities, or the patient says, I don't care, I'm never taking chemotherapy no matter what. And I would order an Oncotype. Again, I think all of them have some demonstrated ability to tell us what the risk for recurrence is. I think some of them help us drive what the potential benefits of adding chemotherapy are, at least in having a one-on-one discussion with patients, even if it's not proven in a prospective way. And I remain true to, I don't care really which assay you use, other than you better know how to use it, know how it's run, know how to interpret the report so your patients can understand it and understand the data that supports the use of the assay.
So, for example, for the 70-gene assay, the MammaPrint, do you feel that there are any advantages or disadvantages compared to recurrent score in a node-positive or node-negative situation?
Well, the clear advantage is that the MammaPrint was studied in a prospective trial where they looked at clinical risk for recurrence versus the genomic risk for recurrence. That's the advantage. Whereas the Oncotype data is really supported by retrospective analysis comparing women who received chemotherapy versus not. Both of them were validated on very well-conducted randomized clinical trials. So that's the strength for both Oncotype and the MammaPrint. The potential, I'm not even going to say it's a weakness, I'm just going to say it's a potential neutral aspect of the MammaPrint. And really, for that matter, the Oncotype is that although it tells me the risk for recurrence and shows me in these two studies, in the case of Oncotype or in the case of the MammaPrint, the large prospective study, it shows me in large populations of patients what the benefit of giving chemotherapy is. And I still think that there's some art to taking that risk for recurrence and applying it to the patient sitting in front of you. So I'd say the disadvantage, although that's probably too strong a word for both the MammaPrint and the Oncotype, is that it's a tool that you use to help women understand their risk for recurrence. You sprinkle in, I can do this, and then further reduce your risk based on that genomic assay. They're not prescriptive in the sense of I order the assay and it tells me what I absolutely need to do or what will absolutely benefit the patient sitting in front of me.
It's interesting. I just noticed that this case that was emailed was from a Dr. Sana Sukhan from Amman, Jordan.
Just, I did too. There's quite a few international ones.
The world we live in. But just to get back to just kind of pin you down a little bit more about...
I know you're going to try. Okay, I'm going to try not to be pinned down. So
okay,
let's go.
Well, let me just give it one shot because I have to say I was kind of surprised recently by an investigator who was talking about a case to me and said, oh, you know, I got a PAM50. And I'm like, really? Because I didn't think people did that. But in any event, yeah, you got to look at all the data, but it just comes down to, are you comfortable with it? So first of all, in a node positive situation specifically, from your point of view, do you feel like a MammaPrint and Oncotype are kind of equally useful?
Yeah, I do. I find it quite interesting that like everyone accepts the Oncotype off retrospective data for the node negative. And then we have a 336 or 338 patient, well-conducted cooperative group study that involved lymph node positive patients. And somehow we're not willing to accept a retrospective study for that one. That doesn't make any sense to me. I understand that the Oncotype's been prospectively validated in Kaiser data sets and now with Taylor RX, but this is how biomarker development works, is you have large tissue sets of 20 years of follow-up. And to me, it's reassuring that we have retrospective studies from the Oncotype in lymph node positive with that, you know, 10 years of follow-up, as is the case with the lymph node positive study. So, yeah, if you believe that the Oncotype works in lymph node negative, I have a tough time understanding why you wouldn't believe from the exact same development strategy, you wouldn't believe that it works in lymph node positive.
So, because, you know, there's a difference between people saying, well, you know, it seems like they all are given the same data and what they actually are comfortable with clinically. So, again, yeah. Once we get beyond the mammoth print and oncotype, which a lot of people talk about. Obviously, they're used a lot, particularly the oncotype. What about the other assays? I mean, are you equally comfortable with other assays like the PAM50 or not quite as?
Well, I'm comfortable with them. And if someone brings me in a test result that's a different genomic predictor, I'm not going to be sending another one. So again, pick one, be familiar with it. The data sets around the mammoth print and the PAM50 are not as robust in terms of other data sets that have been looked at as the oncotype. We're on the 11th or 12th year anniversary of the oncotype. We now have early data from TAILOR-Rx, which is a prospective study. And really, none of these, even the ones that are the, like mammoth print, you're either high or you're low, help me with that middle ground patient, which frequently we see that.
So little known fact, on the night before Soon Paik presented the first Oncotype presentation in San Antonio, I happened to be interviewing Dan Hayes. And he goes, you got to find this guy Soon Paik and do an interview with him right here and right now.
Yeah.
And I did. No. I actually interviewed him the night after he presented. I think it was like 2003, 2004. Amazing how, I mean, people don't even remember what it was like before then. Like everybody got chemo.
Yeah, well, I remember having lengthy discussions with the 2-centimeter lymph node negative ER positive patient saying, if we take 100 women like you, we're going to help 3 out of 100 women. And I feel really very strongly that I'm taking better care of patients because of the genomic assays. What I'm really concerned about is that now that Oncotype has such a strong foothold, I don't think we're going to see any more assays than what we have available in early stage breast cancer. There's not a strong commercial interest to develop even better, right? I mean, 16 genes drives the Oncotype, 70 genes drives the mammoth print, BAM50, I think 50 transcriptional. And yet we now know that even in the triple negative space, wouldn't it be great to have a predictor for triple negative breast cancer? I mean, that to me would actually be an easier assay to develop in many ways because you have so many events, unfortunately, in the early stage setting. But to my knowledge, I don't know of anyone that's doing that.
Incidentally, you said 2 centimeters, but I mean, I think it was 2000, the NCI consensus conference said 1 centimeter, no negative.
Chemo.
You get chemo, everybody. Amazing, just to think about
it. B20, I think it was. I remember, I think it was presented at ASCO Denver. I still remember sitting in the audience, and I came home and gave everyone chemotherapy. Everyone got chemotherapy.
Yeah,